So what is that price point?
About.
Damn.
You at? He had to ask, didn't you?
Oh.
And welcome back to the Riley Black Project. She's holding a yawn.
I am. It's good now.
It's good now. Okay. So, if you're watching this as a patron,
you didn't say the stuff. Friday,
hold on a minute. We'll just say the stuff. I may or may not be a certified drone pilot.
Ooh.
Yeah,
because I take my test. That's exciting. If you're listening to this on Friday, I took my test on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And at the time of recording, I'm taking it tomorrow. So.
Yeah.
This show episode is brought to you by.
No, you didn't even say welcome to the Riley Black Project.
Yes, I did. I said welcome to the Riley Black. She's holding a yawn.
Oh.
She doesn't listen because she was holding a yawn.
Probably.
She was so focused on not yawning
didn't
listen to what I said.
Okay. So the sponsor?
Yes, we are sponsored by.
Katie with Monarch Pine.
Sure.
Huh?
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. She gave everybody 10% off with code Riley Black. I just remembered I didn't ask our guest if she wanted to, but I don't
think it doesn't apply to her. We'll ask her on the show. Yeah. We'll put her on the spot.
Okay. Yeah, but anyway. Monarchpine.etsy.com code Riley Black for 10% off.
10% off.
Yeah.
There you go. Even if you're general admission, you get 10% off.
Yeah. Everybody.
Everybody
in the club getting tipsy.
Okay.
I am not tipsy.
No, but you're something.
Like I should be.
You're something.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
For?
To introduce our guest and like to continue with this podcast?
Or Chris is like, where am I? What are we doing?
What? Why are you fathering me?
I'm not. I'm just making sure you're ready and you don't like yawn or.
They're going to happen. It's okay. Just how it goes. Okay.
Well, that voice you heard is second time on the show? Second time on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show. And here to talk about UV printing.
Mm-hmm,
not to be confused with what I confuse it with.
Sublimation.
Yeah. UV printing.
It's also not to be confused with UV lasers. Those are different too. Right.
Okay. That's too much info for me. So let's welcome Stephanie from the Country Porch Swing.
Hey, friend.
How's it going?
Hey.
And beautiful living area.
Right?
Oh, thank you. Sorry I had to bring stairs.
And that, like, the fireplace.
It all works.
Like a gray couch.
That all works.
It's nice.
This isn't my house. I went to a special hotel.
Oh, you're at a showing.
Right.
For recording purposes. My PR team suggested I
fancy. It's a green screen.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, or a green screen.
Yeah. Somebody's going to come in here in a few minutes and be like, what are you doing in my house? Get out.
And oh, this shit. Is the living area with a working fireplace.
And this is where we eat things. And this is where we watch TV.
Hey, I mean, it would be a good tease if someone walks in and like,
yeah, it would be
fuck?
Funny. Yeah.
We should set that up.
You're in here again. I thought I told you to get out.
So, first of all, what's been up since we've had you on the last time?
Oh,
any
gosh.
Lots of things, right?
So many things. I can't even name them all.
Right?
Yeah. It's just been crazy. You know, the UV printing thing is the biggest one, which is what we're talk about today.
So when did you get yours and what did you get?
I got mine back in October and I got the Mamaki 6042.
And that's that's the common one, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah, it's got a decent size to it and it's probably not that the price point is easy to swallow, but it's a little easier to swallow than the bigger.
So what is that price point?
About $40,000.
Damn.
You at? He had to ask, didn't you?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's uncomfy.
You take money back fast. I'm not kidding.
Can you share the percentage maybe that you might have made back so far, if you even know that?
I haven't really sat down to figure it out. Honestly, the way I thought of it was, is some people buy really nice cars because they like to do that kind of thing for fun. Some people buy boats, and I buy UV printers because that's what I think is fun. So if I make money back on it, then that's cool too.
Yeah.
But I did buy it for a business, so I,
right.
I think about it a little bit. But, you know, if I don't make my money back, at least I have a really cool toy, right?
Right. Well, so I was thinking, the I was talking to Heather, and she was telling me about the new that she ordered. Hopefully I'm not outing her.
Oh.
I'll have to ask later, and if so, then maybe I'll bleep something out. But anyway, it was like around 17K, right? And I was like, oh, that's just like, that's, dang, that's like a car. But then I was thinking about how expensive cars are right now. And I'm like, that's a 10-year-old car. Yeah. That's a 10-year-old or, like, you know, some trucks that are 10 years old go for that much, depending on which one it is. So it is and it isn't right now. But 40K, that's, like you said, that's a car.
The nice thing with that is, you have so much more flexibility with the types of products that you can do versus laser engraving. So your price point and your, you know, investment with a laser, depending on what kind you get, is a lot less, but you're limited in what you can do.
Right. And
the UV printer, it's full color on just about any substrate.
Right.
You know, so you're talking corporate accounts, you're talking, you know, whatever it is you want to do, full color. Charge more for it. It's faster, so much faster
than
engraving, even if you have a really fancy red line Eon laser. You know, it's just so much faster.
Yeah.
So you can pump out a lot more product if you have the customer base.
And
it pays for itself pretty quick. You wouldn't think it when you hear the price point, you about choke, but it's a there you go. There you are.
It finally came out. Sorry. So one thing I was thinking, this is a random thought and I got to get it out because I'll lose it. When there's been a lot of talk about jigs in your UV group. I was thinking, if you don't have a laser, would you have to like buy all your jigs from someone, or would you have to kind of like make them, like, you know, a more manual process, or like, how would you, for a lot of people, the UV tends to come after the laser because it's a good, like, pairing machine that you can use them together to do like really cool stuff, right? Or to take your laser, already established laser business, to the next level. Because, I mean, let's be real, like, you're not going to buy a $40,000 printer if you don't already have some established laser business, typically, unless you have like an investor or you just have a lot of money that you can spend, you know?
Or like a printing business, you know?
Right.
Some people who have, you know, printing businesses do roll to roll and stuff like that. They don't have lasers, but they'll add a UV printer. But yeah, for the most part, I think a lot of people start with lasers.
Attention all laser owners and crafters. Are you tired of spending hours cutting, painting, and assembling laser products? Look no further than Crazy Laser Dad Laser Ready Blanks.
Their high-quality blanks are expertly sourced, tested, and ready to use with your lasers. Say goodbye to the hassle and frustration of time-consuming projects, and hello to more time creating and selling.
Plus, with their wide selection of items, you'll surely find the perfect blank for all your customers.
So, what are you waiting for? Visit crazylaserdad.com today and take your laser crafting to the next level with their laser-ready blanks.
Speaking of all things laser, check out Houston Acrylic at houstonacrylic.com for reliable laser-tested and laser-approved materials.
Made for makers by makers, Houston Acrylic features over 450 styles of acrylic sheets. With over 50 new arrivals being released this month, Houston Acrylic is committed to bringing new and innovative styles to the laser community. My personal favorite is the matte, anything matte, and I feel it's perfect for everything.
Don't forget to save 10% by using our exclusive coupon code TRBP10 at checkout. Get inspired today and visit HoustonAcrylic.com.
Do it.
So how, so say this printing company, how would they go around the jig scenario if they don't have like a laser as well to help them make those jigs? Because a lot of the jigs are made on the laser, right?
Yeah. So with most products, you don't necessarily have to have a jig.
Okay.
Stuff like golf balls that'll roll around and things like that. You have to find a way to secure it and position it so it doesn't move. But, you know, a lot of the printing that I do, I just print the outline of the object either directly on the bed of the printer or on a piece of paper that's taped down. And
then
you place it in that position. So you can get around it a lot of different ways.
Right.
You know, with golf balls and baseballs and certain things like that, you really need a jig. I did a rock the other day.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
I did. Well, I did. So when I first joined the group, there started to be a lot of conversation about balls. Mm. Yeah. And we all have the maturity of 12-year-old boys. And so when you start talking about golf balls, and then she went to bigger balls with baseballs that were in a sack.
A ball sack.
Mind you.
It was a big ball.
It was a big ball sack.
Did you say baseballs or softballs?
Baseballs.
Baseballs. They were white. Okay. White balls.
Okay.
So, softballs are not white.
They can be.
No.
They're usually yellow.
There's white softballs?
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
I'm not an expert on balls, so I but I will say my balls were big.
I mean, I don't think I'm an expert. I carry two all the time.
You carry them everywhere you go?
Everywhere I go, but I don't think I'm an expert.
More than I do.
I'm an expert in mine.
Is this an After Dark or is this...
No, just a regular episode.
Bright outside.
This is water.
It's too bright for all of this innuendo.
Okay, so we're talking about balls in the group.
Yeah.
And how to secure them.
Yeah, but so I avoid... Yes, with a nice jig.
You know, you should have a laser. Jig. You should have a 3D printed jig of hands like this to hold the balls.
Ooh.
It's pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
Or just one, if you have one ball.
Just one.
Or if you have two balls. And then you could put inserts in the palm for golf balls, soft balls, basketballs.
See, you said that we had to get off of the balls.
I didn't say you to get off the balls. Oh. I'm a guy. I would never tell you to get off the balls. Anyway.
Focus.
I'm sorry. That was too easy. She laid it up.
See? This is what happens in the group. It's really...
It really is. It's like...
What's the name of the group
scrolling
since we're
along.
Talking about it?
Yeah, it's Fire and Ink, UV Printing and Laser Community. It's really fun. We have good time.
Yeah, a great name, by the way. The Fire... Yeah, Fire and Ink. That was a good...
Yeah.
Laser and...
Right. Laser printer. And printing.
Yeah. Cool colors. Yeah, I like it. I was really proud of it. I had a friend of mine help me come up with it. I can't take full credit, but
nice. We all need those friends.
Yes.
So when she posted about, she has posted several times about this group, and I'm technically a moderator of her other group, but I don't do anything. She asks me questions every once in a while if she runs into something, but for the most part it runs really well, like not on its own because she does all the work, but I mean it is her group. Anyway, so I saw, you know, when this other group came up and she had been posting about it regularly and was like, oh, join this group if you're interested in UV printers. And I was like, nope, can't afford it, not going there. And so I avoided it for a really long time. And then she posted one day and she was like, we have 999 members. We just need one more. And
what's a friend to do?
Yeah, and then I went and I looked and I was like, oh, surely she posted this a little bit ago.
Right.
There has to have been someone had to have joined by then. And they may had, but they may have been in the, like, you know, in the lobby, in the purgatory, as we call
it. They're in the queue.
Right. And so I saw it was still 999. I was like, I'm gonna have to just help my friend.
Right.
And join
just help.
Yet another group. Mm-hmm. And but be that thousandth.
So how many people did you hold in the lobby before you started?
Maybe
accepting?
A few. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I request, I told her that I would join the group, but only if I was approved as the thousandth member. So.
She said the same thing. She says that to all her thousandth.
She probably did. And it's okay. It worked. But yeah, and then as we mentioned on the pre-show, JB Manning, who we've had on previously with it starts with a W, but his puzzle company.
Yeah.
He was same. Wellaby or it's not Wellaby.
We're
starts
sorry.
With a W. I at least know that. Okay. But anyway, he saw us in the group and he was like, did y'all get a UV printer? And I was like, nope. Just joining to be the thousandth member and to show up and make inappropriate comments about balls when she
it's important. About them. Yeah, we need your support.
You got it. You definitely got it. So what made you finally take this jump? Because it's a big jump. So like what finally pushed you over that edge and you're like, yes, I gotta do this?
So I had probably heard of UV printers maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but it was so far from what I thought I would ever do. Plus, you know, it just seemed weird. You know, I didn't really understand it. I was just getting into lasers big time and you know, it just didn't really, I thought it was cool, the colors were neat, but that was about it. And then the more I got into lasers, I was like, gosh, I just wish I could add color. And I started doing some research, and I researched UV printers for about 2 years, like, just, you know, there's another UV printer group I was in, and, you know, just watching YouTube videos and all that different things. And I just kind of, you know how you hyper fixate on something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, like, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know when. It was like one of those big dreams you think may not ever happen.
Right.
But, 2 years. And then I started talking to a couple different companies and did demos. And then I went to Nashville to go to the PDS event, you know, with Steve Weiss. He convinced me to go down. And yeah, then I already kind of knew I was going to buy one then, but just wanted to be sure and see them in person. Yeah. And then when I came home, I was so jazzed about it. I was like talking 100 miles an hour and telling my husband on the way home for like, it was a 9-hour drive, and I'm talking for hours, just, and then I could do this, and then I could do that, and then, you know, and I get home, and I think he's probably so annoyed with me by now, he's ready to just strangle me, but he goes, do it, and I was like, wait, what? And he's like, just do it. He goes, you're just so excited about it. Just do it. And I was like, okay, I better do this before he changes his mind.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so yeah. But I'm really happy with it. I'm really excited. I don't regret it one bit.
That's awesome.
So it's a big learning curve from lasers.
Yeah.
It's hard. So it took
what specifically have you, I guess, struggled with it just in the beginning?
So it's good to have a laser background a little bit. I mean, you don't have to, but understanding vectors, and, you know, just images in general and things like that helps.
Right.
But when you're going into a world of color and printing, it's a completely different beast. You have to understand how the layering works, and the printer doesn't have a camera or a red dot pointer to tell you where you are and how to position things, and the programs are so different. I had zero Illustrator or Corel Draw background. I always used something else for my laser files, so I had to learn that. I had to learn the printer. I had to learn the computer program that runs the printer. And it was just, my brain was mush for, because they come in, PDS will come, they come in and they train you, they install it. About 3 days of training, or 2.5 anyway. And it's a full days of training. So by the end of it, I was just, but they were great. Like they were so awesome with all the questions and patient, and they had sent me videos and stuff ahead of time that I probably should have watched.
Welcome to the revolution in laser engraving. Introducing Lens Digital, the creators of the game-changing Pyburn rotary attachment. With the Pyburn 4.0, you can turn ordinary cups, tumblers, glasses, and more into extraordinary masterpieces.
Looking to engrave niche items or want the functionality of a Chuck rotary? Look no further than the Pyburn Grip, Lens Digital's Chuck-style rotary. With a range of different sized jaws, you can easily engrave a wide variety of items. All Lens Digital products are compatible with most CO2 and Galvo lasers and were designed specifically for the laser industry. All that, paired with the best-in-class customer support, Lens Digital is your one-stop shop for all of your rotary needs.
Transform your laser engraving game with Lens Digital, where makers succeed. Unleash your creativity today.
And don't forget, we are proud Lens Digital affiliates as well. If you're shopping, code RileyBlack will take $50 off any order of $600 or more.
Hey there, podcast listeners. How great would it feel if this was the year you finally got to escape your 9-to-5 to embrace your lifestyle of creativity and entrepreneurship?
Every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, Eon Laser USA invites you to join the Freedom to Create webinar, where you'll learn how to make this a reality.
Join leading laser industry professional and brand ambassador, Emily, a.k.a. That Mom with a Laser, and Eon Laser USA's sales manager, Alicia, as they dive into all things Eon.
Learn about the advantages of owning an Eon laser and get the scoop on Eon's rewards and partner benefits. Plus, get a glimpse at how everyday people who started out with zero experience paid off their lasers, scaled their businesses, and transformed their lifestyles.
So if you're ready for a lifestyle change, head over to eonlaser.us/YUS and sign up for the Freedom to Create webinar today.
Thanks for listening. Laser on.
But yeah, it's you know, I always tell people, like, I think anybody can do it if you try hard enough, you know, and you're willing to put effort in.
Have the patience, yeah.
But if you struggle with computers and you struggle with that concept, and it's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah, if you're, like, technically challenged.
Yeah. It's definitely something you want to think about before you jump into.
It's not a dig on my friend, but if Mindy can figure it out.
I love Mindy. she's awesome. She's been having a blast with her printer, though. She's my UV printing buddy, and Aaron.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, so, I mean, I only, like, because I met her, and she would struggle with silhouette. And I would show her like 17,000 times how to, you know, deal with compound paths and ungrouping and welding stuff. And there was many times where after 30 minutes or an hour, it was like, just send me the file and I'll fix it and I'll send it back to you.
But she'll never learn that way.
Oh, believe me, I tried the other way first, and then eventually I was like, give me the file and we will deal with the teaching part later. she knows that she's not super technically, like, savvy, but I mean, it might even be a little bit more difficult, because hers is not one of, it's kind of not the, like, knockoff, but, like, it's from China, and it's a lot cheaper,
which is kind of like, I don't know if it's equivalent to this or not, but it might be equivalent to like the Ohmtech of UV printers. Mm. Like Ohmtechs are great for people who are mechanical, technical, who have patients, who know they're probably going to need to upgrade this or upgrade that, or they're going to need to service their own machine. That might be equivalent to what she got for a UV printer, because I believe she's mentioned hers was around $5,000, I think. 5 to 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if, I mean, and that's another way to get into the UV printing space, again, if you have that patience.
And if
it's
kind of
like getting a cheaper laser, starting with, I mean, people have started with diodes and gone all the way up to like a CO2 or fiber or whatever, you know, they need. Starting where you have the funds available. And again, if you have the patience to work through the cheaper options, that means when you get up to potentially, you know, the higher level and you're able to spend $25,000, $40,000, now you almost have like the Rolls Royce of UV printers, and it should hopefully be easier, because now you're just, you're upgrading and probably adding some additional tools or features that might not be available on
to
the
make
cheaper
your life
versions.
Easier.
Right.
As opposed to how you,
yeah.
But it's like getting, knowing that you're getting into troubleshooting and stuff like that right off the bat.
Potentially, and another thing.
She didn't run hers. I think she had some issues at first, and they had theirs for a couple of years and didn't use it because it wasn't working. And then they found a distributor, I think, here in the U.S. who helped them get back up. Yeah, they had to do some things. I think, I can't remember if she said they had to get a new print head. But as long as you know what you're getting, there are some really bad brands. Cheaper level that I would never, ever consider buying. But she's had a decent experience with hers. And the quality, I mean, just from what I've seen online, seems to be okay. I think I've watched it run. Hers is quite a bit slower. You know, it doesn't give a bigger path of ink. But just from watching it on her videos. But
which, again, would be typical for like a slower or a cheaper laser. Usually it's going to be lower wattage and slower speeds. So, but it's a good way to like test, like, okay, is UV printing for me and is it great for my business? Make your money back on the smaller one, sell that one, and then, you know, upgrade to another one. Something JB mentioned in your group, someone made a post. I don't remember. I think it was Shane. Shane had posted and said, Now that he's in the group, he wants a UV printer, but he's like, I'll never be able to afford it. So I'll just, you know, watch you guys from afar, you know, live vicariously through everyone who has one. And JB made a good point about there's a lot of options as far as that goes of making it more affordable for you if you're not someone who has like the money to pay outright or financing or whatever. Because he mentioned there's one you can outsource, which is what I would do before I got it. I, you know, I'd contact Stephanie or someone locally or whatever and have them do my UV printing for me, test it, see how that does. You know, if you're selling a bunch of money, then eventually it's going to make more sense for you to get your own.
Making a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You're printing money?
Yeah.
No, we're outsourcing for you to print us money.
That. And then I don't know if I already mentioned it, but the leasing and then financing. So there's a couple different like
avenues
that you can go that if you really think it's for you, there, you know, there's ways to go around that, especially if it really does grow your business like you think or hope it might, and it might be easier to get out if it's not all you think it was going to be. You know, because we've all had that as well.
If you don't gel with the software or whatever, and it's a little too much.
Sometimes your audience just wasn't, that's not what they were looking for, even though you thought it was. And you're like, oh, look at all these cool colors that we can do. And they're like, cool. Well, where's that cutting board with the engraving? You know what I mean?
Right. You're the cutting board person.
Right.
Yeah. More of that. Less of this colorful stuff.
Well, and for you, Stephanie, you were using a lot of UV printed materials from other suppliers. So you had kind of already done a little bit of that testing yourself, as far as you knew your customers liked the UV printed items. So it was kind of like you had already kind of done that testing before you got yours.
Yeah. So I don't know how much you know about, you know, some of the products I was doing before. I kind of accidentally started making a lot of earrings.
Right. Yes.
It just happened. And I paid for my entire UV printer off of TikTok shop.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was crazy.
So is your UV printer is paid off?
Yeah.
Okay. Big thanks over here.
Again, that TikTok market.
Right? Like,
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I did not finance. But it's an option, you know.
Yeah,
totally. If you think about it, like the payments on this, I didn't do those, but they break it down. Like if you've ever watched, Steve did a live the other day and he was talking about the ROI with products, UV printed products, you know, and doing a big order of tumblers would cover your payment for that month.
Right.
You know, granted, you'd still have to make additional money to be able to pay your bills too. But, you know, if you're a full-time business. But, yeah, I was using a lot of another supplier's pre-printed acrylic for my earrings.
Right.
And I already knew, I wouldn't have bought a UV printer just to replace the third party, you know?
Right.
But I was spending thousands of dollars on printed acrylic and, you know, you gotta wait, you gotta guess what prints are gonna do well, you have to order them, you know, wait for them to ship. You know, and then everybody else is making the same exact earrings as you because they're all getting the same printed acrylic from the same suppliers. And since I already knew I wanted additional products outside of earrings, you know, I never planned on being the earring girl.
Listen, I just said speaking of Mindy just sent me a text yesterday and it was these flip-flops that make a peen imprint in the sand when you walk.
Those are all. That sounds awesome.
And she was like, I don't know how this happened, but when I see these things, they remind me of you. And I was like, I said, listen, I didn't choose the peen queen life, but it chose me. And it happens.
It just happens
sometimes. Yeah. You don't plan to be the earring queen, but you know, here you are.
You know, if it's making money, you just ride that wave until it runs.
Well, now you might become the ball queen.
I can only dream. Someday.
I mean, this sounds sounds like a perfect relationship. The peen queen and the ball queen.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
We're two peens in a pod.
That's a sword fight.
On guard.
All right.
Oh, man. Reel it in.
Yeah. So I bought the UV printer to just add to that. Like, it just saves me money on the printed acrylic plus all the other products that I do, you know. And I'm slowly just trying to transition from a lot of my laser product into printing too.
So. Right. So what are some of those things? Like, what are your favorite things to print so far besides earrings?
Balls. And that is true.
And we're back.
The golf balls have been a lot of fun. And it's funny because I didn't realize there was such a market for them.
Right. For printed golf balls,
Yeah. I had a customer reach out to me as soon as they knew that I could print on things and said, hey, I've got a big golf tournament coming up this summer. And is that something you're going to be able to do? I didn't even have the printer yet.
Right.
And I was like, I think so. you know, but can we wait until I actually have it and know how to use it?
Right.
And so, yeah, I've been testing them, and I actually just got an order of a brand. Because the thing with printers is, one of the issues with printing on products is adhesion. And different substrates take the ink better than others.
Right.
And even different brands, you know, different, kind of like with lasers, you know, certain brands of tumblers just might engrave a little better than...
Well, and like certain colors, like blue and red are notorious for being a pain in the ass for tumblers. So I'm sure it would be similar for other stuff too.
Yeah. So you get products that are from different manufacturers, you know, whatever their process is for fabricating those.
Right.
And, you know, it could look exactly the same. You go to print on one and it sticks fine, and you go to print on the other and it just peels right off. So there's different things that you can do. You know, they call them adhesion promoters, or different processes you can do to get better adhesion. But, you know, right now I'm just testing the golf balls, the different brand that I got, to make sure that they're quality before I start selling them.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I didn't realize there was a huge market for that. And then since I posted in my group about it, I've already had like 3 or 4 other people reach out and ask me about them too. So I'm like, I guess I am the ball queen. I don't know.
Right. Well, and so the people who are reaching out, are those other like laser owners who maybe don't have a UV printer, or?
Yeah, 2 of them were. They said they had customers that wanted those and asked if I'd be willing to do that. And one of them was another UV printer owner, but she just didn't have time to, you know,
figure it out. Yeah.
Before, and she didn't have time to do that yet. So,
right.
So we'll see, but yeah. And then I just trying to figure out what all I can do and keep adding and adding and adding. It's so much fun because there's so many different things you don't even realize you can print on. People are printing on Yeti coolers, you know, the rocks. Like, who? I didn't know I could print on a rock. That's weird.
Right?
Yeah. It's just so many things. People are printing on, I know there's a name for it, and I don't know, you know, the feather part of the arrow, but the plastic. I don't know what it is, but people are printing, you know, company logos on those. Just crazy stuff. There's one guy in my group, and he's had a UV printer for a while. He's helped me with a lot of things, and he's always posting crazy.
Is that Carl?
Yeah, Carl.
He started it with the balls, didn't he?
Yeah, yes, he did. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Every time I'm like, dang it, Carl.
I know. I've seen those posts. Well, and is he the one that posted, what the heck did he print on the other day? They looked like big metal, like, what was that? It said Iron Man or something.
Oh, I can't remember.
What were those? Though I don't even know. Well, now I'm kind of curious.
There's so many. He's posted.
And then someone else posted a bat.
Yeah.
Like a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. And so who's buying the golf balls? Are these like companies that just like want to give them out as like merch? Or I guess I'm curious. I also didn't realize there was such a market for printed golf balls.
So I don't know. They didn't tell me the other ones who reached out. They just said they had a company who wanted, but the one that I have, she is actually she works for the city and the tourism department of her town that she lives in, and they're holding a big golf tournament. It's a big charity.
Okay.
And so they're more for souvenir type, you know, balls, but so she's just putting the logo and the 50th anniversary for the charity classic thing that they're doing. So
he doesn't even say what they are. He was just apologizing because apparently you had to delete one of his other posts.
He was naughty. I had to delete.
Carl.
Yeah, so do you know what these are?
Oh, those are iron spikes, like used in the railroad.
Okay, that's what
to hold down the lines.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, they're a thing.
Yep.
The big metal
iron
thing. Awards are huge. Like, you know, and some for like huge big events, and some for like, you know, a 5K. People want printed awards and things like that. And yeah. It's just been kind of fun learning about all the things that I can do, you know.
Yeah.
Keeps getting more challenging, like, ooh. And I'm looking around the house, what can I print on?
Yeah, I saw someone else post it in the group. They're like, I literally printed on it doesn't even have to be 100% flat, obviously, because you can print on a rock or a ball or whatever. They're like, I printed on literally everything in my house. It's kind of like when you first get a laser, you go to IKEA and you get all the things that are like cork and wood and bamboo, and you just want
to. Yeah.
I remember I bought like salad tongs. Like, what the fuck do I need? Like, why? Do I really want to sell engraved salad tongs? Probably not. But when you're a new laser owner, you're like, can I engrave on it? Let's try it.
Yeah. Will it engrave?
Right.
So the tough thing with the printer is, though, you can get away with a little bit of flexibility, like on, you know, curved surfaces, but it's not like a laser. You have to have the printer head pretty close to your substrate. So like right now, mine's set at 1.5 millimeters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you do not want that print head to crash into anything. So, you know, if you have a lip on something or something like that, you really can't print on it unless, you know, my printer has the capability of being a little more flexible with some of that stuff. So I can, it's called the LD profiles, if you know, and all that means is you can set the printer up to be able to print a little bit further away from the print head. Okay. The same brand that I have, but the level up from me goes up to LD3. Mine only goes up to LD2. So they can print on tumblers without using a rotary, and they can have a bigger logo on it because they get a little bit more flexibility as that tumbler starts to curve. But I don't know about other printers and how they operate and what their limitations are, but like with the Rock, I use the LD2 profile so that the ink starts to spray a little bit as it gets further in your energy.
And probably like skew. Yeah.
So you got to watch out for that, because you also don't want ink curing on the print head. You know, if it's just spraying around everywhere, you got to be careful of that. So, and printers have, speaking of that, printers have a lot more maintenance than lasers.
So what's some of the
bad? It doesn't take very long. It takes me about 5 minutes every night when I'm done printing to clean the print heads and do a little maintenance.
Okay.
But it scares a lot of people away because they always hear, oh my gosh, I have to run it every single day, or it's gonna get clogged, or you know, the maintenance is so hard on
me. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So can it go, like, I mean, you just left out of town for a couple days. Is it fine sitting for that couple days while you go out of town or on a vacation or that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so my brand, and I know a few other brands, have an auto circulation. So it kicks on even when I have it turned off. It kicks on every 15 to 20 minutes, and it does this little circulation. I don't know exactly what it's
the technical term. Yeah.
Yeah. But it circulates the ink so the lines don't get clogged. Stuff.
Okay.
Is there any kind of like, not solution, but like you can put in there so that it can sit for longer without having it circulate, or is it just automatically?
If you're going to have it shut down for, say, months, I think there's something that you can do for that. I don't know if it's a solution. I haven't done it yet, so I couldn't say. But if you're going to be gone for a week, there's a solution that you run through it once a week. It's called a nozzle wash. And it's a special solution that you put in the capping station, or, you know, just where the ink sit, and it runs it through and makes sure that you don't have any clogged nozzles.
Right.
But I can leave mine sit. I've left it sit for over a week, and it was fine.
That's good.
Fine. Yeah, you just make sure you keep it clean and do your maintenance before you leave, mm-hmm. and you're okay. I know some that don't have that auto-circulating feature and stuff, you can't let sit.
Right.
So it kind of depends on what brand and what type of machine you have. But
right.
That was part of why I bought the one I did, is because I had asked a few other companies, okay, I go out of town for a couple weeks in the summer, right. Family trips and stuff.
Yeah. And
one of the companies said, hey, well, yeah, but do you have somebody to come shake your ink bags while you're gone? I'm like, no.
No. No. Sure don't. hire a bag shaker when you go on vacation.
Hey, after you feed my dogs, can you go in and shake my bags?
Right. Yep, not happening. So yeah, that's not gonna work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, which is all important stuff when you're
right.
shopping for something, because it's like, okay, can I feasibly add something like that into my current workflow right. without meaning like, if I go on vacation, I stop all progress, and now you basically almost have to like winterize your printer before you leave. And who wants to go through that? But at the same time, if you have a print shop and you have employees, you do have a bag shaker potentially while you're gone. If
you
have
employees, you're running the machine. You don't have to shake the bag because it's running.
True. Yeah. So what... Are there things that you want to do with your UV printer that you haven't gotten around to yet?
Yeah. So, you know, I want to do more awards. I think that would be really fun. I have a friend who does quite a bit of his business is awards. And so I've been kind of asking him questions and how do you find these people? Like, how do you find these events? You know, I'm not familiar with it yet. So I just think that would be fun.
I think awards are big out here. I'm starting to realize, and I have don't have a lot of interest in doing that.
You better get
better
start getting interested.
It's kind of like I do with everything else. I'm gonna have to convince them to do acrylic awards. Or like pre-made awards, because there was one. I had a local printing shop. They don't have a laser, so they're kind of looking for someone to outsource their laser stuff to. And I was, you know, looking around at, you know, JPP, JDS, and looking like, okay, what materials do I need to potentially make these awards for them? Because yes, let's be real, especially with him doing his self-employment stuff. Like we can't say no to every job like I'd love to sometimes. But, and so I'm looking into it and I'm like spending all this time on JDS. And I think I broke their website because I haven't been on JDS in probably at least a year, if not longer. And 30 minutes into my search, the site stops working. Like I tried from my phone, his phone, my computer for a while, and it didn't come back up. But I was realizing, like, you know, if I buy, so they needed five different, so two plaques and three awards, but they all looked similar. They just had different writing on them. And it was like, I was looking into the Gemini Duets, two-toned acrylic, because it looks like metal, but it's just acrylic that looks like metal, and then you engrave it to the core, which is a different color. But because it's fancy acrylic, it's expensive, and due to the size of the awards, they weren't big, but they were big enough that I would need several sheets in case something went wrong. And you know, if it's me, something's going to go wrong if I only buy one sheet, especially with a new to me material. Like, I've worked with a lot of acrylic, but I actually have avoided the two-tone because I know it's a little bit more finicky. It's hard to get your engrave settings so that the engrave looks nice and clean and, you know, whatever. And some of the two-tone can actually have like an issue where it kind of feels a little sticky afterwards. And I think it might be just like you're probably exposing the adhesive that bonds the two colors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've seen people who I feel have more experience with me kind of struggle with the two-tone stuff. So I'm like, I'm good then. So we're running into this and he's reaching out to me because he had reached out to another laser owner and they hadn't gotten back to him. So now he's on a time crunch. Mm-hmm. And now he's asking me to kind of like jump in and save the day. But this is a brand new thing for me. And it was reminding me about how this is why niches are good and important, because I spent probably, I mean, at least an hour looking at all of this and off.
That's not even counting troubleshooting the JDS website.
Right. And so, you know, I spent like an hour just trying to find the materials, find something that's affordable. And the other struggle was he isn't the end customer. There has to then be room in my pricing for him for to profit. Be able to sell it to his customer. And I'm like, eventually, you know, I was talking to one guy who was really helpful in the comments of like, you know, try this, do this, you know, was giving me some tips on what to do and about like what to price them. And then I eventually was like, here, just in case, do you want this job if I pass on it? And he was like, sure, I have all the materials on hand. And it's like seeing how much effort I was going into and how stressed I was already getting before I even gave the guy a quote. Mm-hmm. This is why, like, you know, having an award company or having people who do that regularly, like at least having these people in your back pocket so that if it's something that's outside my realm, I can or reach outside out your to. Wheelhouse. Stop it. I don't like that word. And you know it.
It's a wheelhouse.
No, no, house no wheelhouses.
House of wheels.
No, there has to be another word for
outside of that.
No. No. Anyway, I'm realizing too that especially with like it being a small town, that awards, there's a lot of like charity events and a lot of fishing fundraisers, and all of those fundraisers have awards at the end of the day.
Have awards.
Right. So yes, it would make sense to find some type of awards that work for the things that I actually want to do. Yeah, so I feel like that was a really long story.
Whether it's a laser or a UV printer or whatever it is, you know, I see in the groups and all the time on my TikTok and whatever it may be, people are always like, well, I can't get sales. I can't find customers. How did you start your business? And the work is out there if you're looking for it, you know? Right. But you have to put yourself out there, you know, go to businesses. I mean, things you would never think of that they need. You have to be looking for it. Name tags, you know, awards. I mean, just the most silly type of awards. People give away awards for the dumbest crap.
Participation awards.
Yeah, it's just nonsense. But hey, if there's a market for it, you know, use that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started making dental name tags with teeth on it. Yeah. And like one of my biggest selling things on Etsy right now is a dumb, you know, tooth name tag.
Yeah. Well, but that's what I was just going to say as far as for you, you already came from an industry where you have a lot of friends and contacts just because you were there. I mean, how long were you in the dental industry?
Oh, gosh.
Long fucking time. Long. It sounds like
16, 17 years, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So with over 16, 17 years, it's just kind of like the 5 years or 6 years that I've been in the laser industry, a good portion of my friends are laser people. And so with you, I'm sure there's a large portion of the people, you know, at least that you used to talk to regularly who are dental, you know, like related. And that would be, that's, it dental stuff has done well for you. One, because you were in it and you kind of know, okay, this is something I would have liked when I was working there, or this is something I know Susie would have liked, even though I might not have been interested in. This is totally something Susie would wear, whatever. But going with something you already know about and have interest in is where you should start first when kind of looking for what to make. Like Stephanie, her first, I guess, not this Stephanie, the other Stephanie, Stephanie Lockridge. She really liked the doll house and doll stuff. And so when she was looking for laser stuff, it literally made sense to start, you know, making stuff for her already established doll business. Makeup, I think, is what she started with for the dolls. And then she made, you know, cribs and all that kind of stuff. But she already had that kind of following. She had that group. Right. She had those friends. So it was an easy transition from one thing to another because you already have interest in it and connections. And then you build on that. You don't have to start from the bottom.
Right. Now you're here.
Right.
So I was wondering, is there any, like, because we were surprised with the DTF printing. Is there any, like, exhaust? Like, nope. Do you have to, no venting, no nothing?
Not with mine. I have heard that there's a few printers that have a more toxic fume type of ink, but mine doesn't. You can smell it a little bit, but it's not strong at all, and it doesn't irritate anything. You don't have to have a ventilation at all.
That's good.
So it's nice. Yeah, that was one thing I was worried about before I knew. I was like, am I going to have to come up with a way to vent this thing?
Right.
Yeah, we went to a networking a couple weeks ago, and there was the same print shop that I was talking about that needed the wards. We went, he was like, oh, you should stop by. You know, we want like a laser person and whatever. And we need shirts and stuff. So we stopped by and he was showing us like all the machines and stuff. And there was the direct to film printer. And I saw like a basically a vented, you know, it wasn't a filter box, but it was, you know, the same Similar. Type of thing. And I was surprised that it needed venting. And he was like, yeah, get up on it. Like, get a little closer to the printer. Because, you know, you didn't smell it, like, being about 5 or so feet away from it, you know, either. And I got closer. And I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't smell so great. And he was like, yeah, that's why you got to vent. And I was like, oh, okay, makes sense. But then it's another expense you have to think about. Because those filters, if they work well, they're not cheap.
Right.
So if it doesn't already come with the printer, then, you know, you'd have to like outsource or not outsource, buy filter, that as well.
You have to buy it. It's an added, added expense when you get into it. And what about ink as far as that? Like, is the reservoir big? Is the ink what is it?
Proprietary.
I know there was a lot of P's in that word.
The ink is pretty expensive. It goes a long way. Okay. I can't remember the milliliters. You can buy the big size in the bottle for mine is bottles and it's all gravity fed. There, about like that. Yay, big. And then you can buy smaller ones. If like when you first start printing, you might not be using up the ink as quickly and it does expire. And if you can't use the expired ink, so you got to toss it, which is really hard to do. Because it's expensive.
Sounds like from experience.
Yeah. So but it goes a long way. So when I'm printing, I'm not freaking out thinking, oh my gosh, I'm using up all this ink and it's going to cost me a lot of money, because it really does stretch pretty far. And different brands have different ink types, and some have bags, some have bottles, you know, and the cost is different for different inks too. So
yeah.
And does your machine only use like the bottles and not the bags, or could you use the bags as just well? Like just the bottles.
Yeah.
And then
so when you're doing research on printers, it's important to think about those things. Like, okay, you know, some of the companies advertise the ink. Well, if you buy a bag of ink, it's cheaper. Well, yeah, but your bag's smaller and it doesn't go as far. You know, you got to think about how.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, what that actual cost is going to be. So.
And so what kind of expiration dates do they have? Like, how long does it last about?
Ooh, I'm not sure. That's a good question. I should know that. I don't remember.
Okay, you can get back to me on that.
My printer tells me when it's about to expire. So it's like, ooh, you got a month
left. Oh, really?
But yeah. And, it, and then it constantly flashes yellow for the rest of forever until it finally expires. And once it's expired, you can't print. Mm. Oh, you so can't even print with the other colors. So, you know.
Oh.
So it stops got, it for yeah. you.
And then you have to. So I ordered it ahead of time and this, and then just change it out and it's easy.
Okay. So it's kind of like the filter on our fridge where it'll remind us for forever.
Yeah, but it'll still and pump out water.
It
does.
It'll yeah, still pump
over
out.
Time, it just starts
tastes,
to,
it just tastes a little
starts
different.
Starts to decline. Yeah, the taste. Yeah. Yeah.
We need to override that governor on that machine so you can use some expired. You know, it's only a day expired.
Right?
It'll be fine.
Well, yeah, and I wonder, like, what happens, like, what expires in the ink?
Well, it's probably like motor oil in a sense. Mm. That the preservative is inside to keep the viscosity.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'm going probably like there's a shelf life of that. Mm-hmm. And if you go too far, it might start gunking up the,
right.
you know, the lines and then the nozzle and stuff. So that's probably why. But it yeah. also kind of sucks because you can't, like, hoard ink for right. when you want. You know, like, yeah. like, oh, I don't want to run out of ink. Let me have two on hand. Right. Well, no, because they expire.
Yeah.
Not if, yeah, if you're printing a ton and you're going through ink, you know, it may not be as big of a deal. But, yeah.
If you're, right.
you're just starting out and you're still building your product line, you know, you probably don't want to buy a couple bottles because they do last right. a while.
Right.
White, you go through white usually the fastest because you put a white that's layer under just about everything.
Yeah.
White is a little runnier and you do have to shake the whites. So if you ever get into UV printing groups, you'll hear about
not
shaking
me.
Whites.
You're
not me. Don't shake this white.
Okay.
But there's titanium and white ink, and it'll settle.
Mm.
And if you don't shake it up, you know, and pre-mix it every day, you won't notice a difference until it gets hurts. To the end.
Maybe that's why your back hurts. You need to be shaking. All the titanium is...
Give her a good shake every day and see
I'm
if
going
that...
to see if that works.
Mix her up.
I doubt it. You're just going to injure something else. Like, let's be careful. My body's barely
let's
holding
not shake
on here.
All that titanium
you might shake something else loose. Be careful.
The crystals.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on those. I literally, side note, little like life glimpse. What was it? Like a couple months ago or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, she has loose crystals in her
yeah,
head.
Yeah, I had literally loose crystals in my ear. Crystal had loose crystals. And every time I would lay down, the room was like spinning a mile a minute and my eyes would like, you know. And yeah, it was not fun. Mm-hmm. And it would happen when I would turn over on a certain side, apparently. And then, but this guy, you know, we Dr. Google and
YouTube.
No, I
didn't
YouTube,
find that out. Someone sent it to you.
I diagnosed myself.
Yes.
And then I was telling my friend.
It's hard to find a doctor out here.
It really is. And then I was telling my friend Misa about it. And she had heard about it, I think, because her husband is a physical therapist, PT.
Yeah.
And so he knew about it and he... mentioned the like you have to like
it's a certain move it's called a certain thing and it's basically a series yeah. of turns that one does
to put the crystals back where they
like
go
because it's all with the ear canal
inner ear
we're not doctors so but it's all in the ear canal and basically the crystal goes back to where it's supposed to be
right
so that doesn't like mess because apparently when you like lay down and your head moves, the crystal moves.
Right, and your brain is like,
that throws off your equilibrium, and it makes it feel like the room is spinning.
Yeah.
So she has loose crystals.
But the dizziness has come back the last few days, but I'm not having those crazy dizzy spells when I lay down, so who knows? Right. But yeah, be very careful about shaking.
Me. But it's funny because it's just a series of like you turn this way for 30 seconds and you turn this way.
And yeah,
it's
and basically I had to giving it a couple of those.
Yeah, every time like, you turn it, because the crystal's moving to go back home. So every time it moves, it makes you dizzy.
Yeah, but and it then, worked on the first try.
Yeah.
But then, and then I realized the next day I woke up and then I was dizzy all day. I was like, oh, is this what it's like when it's fixed? But thankfully that gradually went away over like a couple weeks. Yeah. But yeah.
And what this has to do with UV?
Nothing. Shaking.
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 Shaking stuff.
Shaking the white.
Don't shaking the white.
Don't shake crystal.
So apparently not that white.
So what do you have any like, especially since it's already paid off, like what are your big goals as far as the UV goes? Just really like trying more what do you call them? Would it be substrates or just more items?
Either substrates, items, different materials. It's crazy the things you can do and the things you could print on. So I'm just learning every day and it's been so fun and I'm so excited. So like, it's, you know, kind of how I started sharing laser tips and all those things it's kind of become a huge passion for me is sharing the UV stuff. 'Cause it's so new. Yeah. So many people don't know about it.
Right.
You know, laser and it's UV scary. Printing are like the ultimate combo, you know, and it just opens up a whole new world of everything. And so I'm so excited about it. That's why I've been pushing the group so hard because it's been so much fun. And then other, you know, being in that group and starting that, I've seen so many things I didn't know I could do. Like I
didn't even think about.
Yeah, ideas of what I was gonna do, and then now I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, there's there's a bunch of stuff, you know. So I don't know if I'll ever be able to try it all, but
yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
Nice. So, I guess one question we kind of asked as far as like laser goes, but I'm going to ask you as far as UV printing goes, even though it's only been, what, like 6 months or so that you've had it, right?
Sure.
Yeah. October, I think, is 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would 6 months later Stephanie say to new UV printer Stephanie, the one who was like freaking out, you know, the 3 day... like training and all the overwhelming, you know, stuff that you had to learn.
What would you tell yourself now?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you should sooner.
You should what?
I should have done it sooner.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's, you know, you can't. It's expensive. Right. You have to have a plan, but because of the price point and all of that, you put it off a lot longer than you probably would other things. And you don't want to go into it without a plan. It's not a hobby thing. You know, it's not a home crafter type of
it's not a new
investment. Unless you just have, you know, unlimited amounts of money and you just, like, you know, then that's awesome. Cool. Do it.
Right.
But it's, most people don't.
Right. So,
you just have to have a plan and you have to have a lot of motivation and, you know, drive to be able to sell those products and figure it out. And and I do. So I think I should have started a long time ago, but you just don't know until you do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because I remember investing a couple things I struggled to invest in was early on was my shipping labels printer.
Oh, right.
When you have a new business and you only have $600 in your account and people are telling you to buy a Rollo printer for your shipping labels that's $200 or $175 or whatever it was, right. You're like, no, I can't. Right. Like, I only have $600.
I'm printing my labels now.
Right. And printing your labels, like with the sheet printers and a regular printer, it's not difficult. And so I highly underestimated. And even when I got the Rollo, much like everything, I itch that scratch by just buying it. And then right. when it shows up and then you're like, oh, but now I gotta set it up. So it sits in a box for forever. And you're like, you know, I always overthink how long or how difficult something's going to be when you set it up and learning it, whatever. It was not difficult by any means. And then when I set it up, I was like, what the fuck was I waiting for? Yeah. And I can't even describe to you what makes it so much easier. I mean, it's just what?
Well, one, you don't have to load like the paper like you do in
right.
your,
I had to manually load.
You have to change because you had to change from like regular paper.
Yes, true.
To the sticker paper.
Right.
Two, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about ink.
Right. I was running through a lot of ink.
You run through a lot of ink in yes. just regular printing along true. With all the labels. Because think about how many labels you print.
Right.
And then it's just. I feel like the other one was bigger.
Yeah, the other labels were bigger. Yeah,
this is small, and again, it's just small. It doesn't take up a lot of room.
Right.
It's just you print it. You can print a bunch of them out right. in a line, and then just it's just yeah. easy. It makes it.
He likes slap it on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It streamlines.
It does.
Label
it takes
printing.
2 seconds rather yeah. than maybe like
yeah.
a couple minutes.
Exactly. You don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to like, oh man, let me change the paper for this one label.
Cutting
right.
it.
Let me change. Yeah. Right. If you have to cut it. Right. If you have to cut it.
And I didn't have to because the ones I printed were sticky.
Right.
But sometimes people print them out on their, now this I never had the patience for, printing them out on their actual printer, cutting them, and then taping them on.
Right.
I went straight to the
right. But
feed.
I mean, again, there's so that is the like reason why
yeah.
I would highly recommend just for efficiency purposes.
Right.
It'll make labeling like not even a chore. Yeah.
And then in the end, you're saving money because you're not buying ink for your printer all the time.
Right,
right,
right.
right.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because the Rollo thermal printer was one of the things I dragged my feet. But, you know, at the very beginning of your business, every single purchase is it hurts.
Yeah.
Because you're investing it. And now, you know, it's not that I'm the most successful business, but now it's right. like, it'll make my life easier. Add to cart. Boom. Done.
Right.
Right.
You know? Exactly. I'll figure it out later. Yep.
Yeah. It didn't used to be that way. You had to use, you know,
yeah.
there too. You had to sit and think, okay, is this really going to make my life enough, you
right.
know,
right.
easier that it's worth that $200?
Right.
You know? And, you know, like the pie burn, you know, the rotary.
That was the other one yes. And I was like,
it hurt to buy that. It hurt mm-hmm. so much. And then after I got it, I was like, oh my gosh, I right. should have bought that a long time ago.
Right. right.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But at first, I mean, you know, all these things come with pretty, I mean, especially for yeah. someone new, hefty price yeah. tags. Especially when you think of you just bought, like, let's say you just bought your laser.
Right.
And you spent thousands on it. Like, right. oh, wait. A printer
right.
label maker for yeah. $200,
yeah.
a rotary
right.
for another $800,
whatever, yeah,
like or $1,000 depending yeah. on whatever you. And then wait, which one should I get? Should I get the regular one or this right. grip thing?
Yeah,
and like you know, it's just a lot of money, yeah. up, but it does save a bunch of time, which in turn is worth yeah. money.
Another one that I've talked about before, and I actually just talked to Stephanie about, and I was trying to convince her of, because she kept getting interrupted for tax stuff. Mm. And mm-hmm. one of the things, so I didn't struggle too long on mine. One of the first things I outsourced with my business, especially when it was small, was taxes and mm-hmm. bookkeeping yeah. and accounting, because I could do it myself technically because I went to right. school for that, but I hated it and I wasn't doing it and I kept procrastinating on it. And that meant that months would go by and I hadn't done anything with my books. And so when it came to filing taxes at the end of the year, it was
a huge chore.
Awful because I literally had like a year's worth of work to do in a week or a month or whatever. And especially when you're small, it's almost the better time to get in because the services you need are cheaper because you're a smaller business. Right. And so for me, I pay quite a bit more now than I did when I first started. Mm-hmm. But that's also because the I services, need more.
Right.
You know, I have her doing more of my accounting. And now we switch to profit first accounting, which is more hands-on accounting. At the same time, we've seen a huge growth in my finances, especially considering how much lower my sales have been due to the economy and the move and all of the things.
It helps you see, it's helped you see where your money's going easier.
Yeah. And well, and someone else doing it for me helps keep me accountable.
Right.
I'm thinking about my purchases closer because
she's gonna yell at me for this one.
Right.
Yeah, no, I have that. I have my own personal account.
Yeah. And so just things like that. But that was one thing that I outsourced that I wish I would have done a little bit sooner, just because it made my life so much easier and I would have paid two or three times what I was paying in the beginning.
Katie, she didn't mean that.
Well, I am now. But in the beginning, because it made my life so much easier not having to
And it gets you and it gets you into that routine so that when you do grow and you become a bigger company, you're already used to doing your books like every month or every quarter, whatever you works best for you and your company. And then it also might change because when you're smaller, every quarter might still be easy to do, and then you realize, oh, I got to do this every month to keep up so it's not a chore at the end of the quarter.
Well, one thing we shifted was I used to do it quarterly, and then what would happen is I would procrastinate because now it's 3 months worth of work I have to go through.
Right.
And then I'm looking at charges from 3 months ago and I'm like, I don't know what that charge was from a week ago. What do you mean 3 months ago? So now I do it at the end of the month.
And if you're not, so I doubt my husband will ever let me get an accountant because he's determined we can do it ourselves.
Right.
But
I'll work on them for
every
you.
Single year, I always say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to keep track of all this. And I never do. But this year,
For a showing.
And that's all.
Right? If you need to go get that, you can.
I do. I know. Okay. Yeah. Give me just a second. Sorry. Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. But so, I have been keeping up with it. And the thing that I've noticed out of all of it is now I know where I am financially.
Yes. Which is very important.
It is. It makes a huge difference because you really start thinking about your spending.
Yep.
And you start thinking about, oh, crap, I should really be making more money right now.
Right.
Or, you know, sometimes you think you've made a lot and you really haven't. And
or the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Just,
like,
that
wow.
That just happened to me. Yeah, she, we just did like our like March or April wrap up or whatever. We did our like, we've been trying to meet, I think about once a month now. But she had done like my first quarter and she was like, did you know that April, she was like February did really well. And I was like, yeah, I think I remember, you know, doing pretty good in February. And she was like, yeah, but did you know that that's been your best month since April the year before? And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know that it went that well. And I'm like, that's awesome. I need to hear that right now. But hearing that stuff, you know, it helps you make very important decisions for your business as far as, should I buy that machine? Should I cut back on my acrylic purchases? Or, you know, that kind of thing. So, and you need to do that in real time.
Yeah, like the breakdown of where your income is coming from, because I have a lot of different revenue streams. And, oh, well, crap, I barely made anything on Etsy this month, but my TikTok shop took off. And then the next month, it's like, I barely made anything on TikTok shop and Etsy, but my website, you know. And then put the puzzle pieces together. Well, what did I do differently?
Right.
If anything, sometimes it's just...
Because... Right, ebb and flow, right. But yeah, if there's one thing, it's like, do more of that.
Yeah. Oh, I like the way that worked out. I'm going to keep doing that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I actually just started asking her to separate out my deposits, basically, based on where they're coming from. Mm. Because there's so many different pieces to my business, with being the keychain thingies, that, like, I couldn't tell you necessarily without, like, pulling some data how much my course made me right. last year, or how much did we actually make from the podcast last year? Because it's all, I know how much I made last year,
right?
But I don't know how much I made for each individual thing. Right. So, and it's easy enough because the deposits are mostly specific to that thing. Mm-hmm. Like, my course payments come through Stripe, my Etsy payments come right. from Etsy, you know, the Shopify stuff comes from Shopify, right. and Patreon for the podcast comes from, you know, so it's easy enough to split those out. It's just not something we had done
right.
in the past. Mm-hmm. Another thing we wanted to split out to have more visibility on it was, like, Amazon stuff. Mm-hmm. The Amazon stuff we mostly just threw into, I forget what, like, office supplies or right. whatever. When it really came down to, okay, it's also been photography stuff. Uh-huh. If I'm taking, you know, if I need props for pictures, or some of it is actually materials that I'm using to resell, or that's actually going into a product, right. and that would be different.
Inventory,
so, right. And so now I not only break down where my deposits are coming from when I send her my stuff for the month, I'm breaking down, okay, that $150 on Amazon, that's photography, that's new, you know, equipment or right. whatever, and making sure that I'm, like, tracking that mm-hmm. better. And all of it is just to get better eyes on how your business is doing right. and what, you know, where you should go. So, but yeah, I forget where we started on that, but just making
things
sure
that you do for your business yeah. that are to
yeah, or that you procrastinated on. Yeah, yeah.
And the thing yeah. is with a new business, though, too, is you have so many things you need.
Yeah. You know, right.
You're starting out. You don't have all this equipment. You don't have anything. And so you right. have to pick and choose, you know, what
right. which ones.
What's the most important
right you know, now?
More yeah. established, you have a lot of these things. So there's, well, unless you're like me and you want a million different pieces of equipment.
Right.
But, you know, you have a lot of those smaller things already now, so you
right.
can focus on, like, whatever that one thing is that you need.
Yeah. Well, this was yeah. fun, Stephanie. We'll have to have you on more regularly and
yeah.
pick your brain about either UV stuff or what kind of balls did you print on this week, you know?
You get balls an update of the week. On balls every now and then, and we'll...
I mean, there's a lot of balls. Maybe some bouncy balls.
Yeah.
Some, like you said, basketballs.
Tennis balls.
Could she do...
What?
The idea that we didn't... The print... It wasn't printed. The basketball that you almost bought for Kaylin.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Maybe. Hmm.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the Z depth on your UV printer? Can you print on basketballs?
It's 6 inches, so it would be a smaller ball.
Well, no, because you can deflate the ball.
Oh yeah, some people do that.
You can deflate the ball, and then we'll talk about that. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm not even gonna joke about that because that gets really dirty.
Okay.
Anyway. What is, one more time, let the people know the Facebook group.
And it's, how they can find you.
Yes.
You can find me everywhere. But TikTok, Facebook, you name it. TikTok is really fun because I post a lot of videos of the UV printing. You know, mm-hmm. just me, whatever I'm printing, or laser engraving, you can just see it. But it's nice with the Facebook group. It's Fire and Ink. UV printing and laser community, because you can ask questions and you can see what other people besides just me are doing. And yeah. I'm really trying to build the group, but it's been growing really fast. It's only been a few months and yeah. we're already at 1,100 members,
That's I awesome. Think,
which is big to me. I know some people have,
yeah.
you know, but it's been
I like when the groups it's really active, and I like when the groups, the smaller groups are, I guess, are have that good engagement, because when they're still smaller, like, posts get lost less easily, and like there is some benefit to it being like that, kind of like that small startup, because, you know, like, I love the That Mom with the Laser group, but the fact is that sometimes, you know, even when I post in there, like, people just don't see it as much because there's so many posts. And so it's kind of nice with the smaller groups. They're a little bit more intimate, and it's almost a little bit easier to interact with people and to get answers and stuff, you know, in the beginning. And you get to
know, it actually does feel like a community, because I'm getting to know people in there that I didn't really know before, and their name, what they post, and, you know, now when Carl posts, usually when I see something, I'm like, it's probably Carl's.
I didn't know Carl before you were printing him and all the ball jokes.
I met him at UV Energize, which, if you're interested in UV printing, that's a really good one. PDS hosts it, and it's all Mamaki machines, so when I went, I was concerned because I wasn't necessarily 100% sure that that was the machine I was going to get. But they have a lot of really cool classes on just UV printing. So you don't have to own a Mamaki. You don't have to buy a Mamaki. And in fact, he makes sure that even the vendors there for a lot of the blanks aren't focused on selling. When he was trying to convince me to go last year, I'm like, you know what? I really don't want to go and just be sold to. And he's like, no, that's not what it is. I'm like, sure. It's not, you know, that's what they say.
Right.
But it really wasn't. It was all about learning.
When is it?
It's the beginning of September.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's the first week of September, and I'll be there.
And where?
It's in Nashville.
Okay.
And I think I'm allowed to say, but I'm going to be on the discussion board. So one of the sessions is where people can sit in the audience and ask questions to, like, a panel of people.
Yeah.
And I'll be up there, so you can ask me or anybody else questions about UV printing. So
nice.
Yeah. It's a good time. It's a really good time.
Yeah. Hey, we're not doing anything in September.
Party in Nashville.
We'll see.
We'll could maybe, you know, maybe UV printing people need some keychain thingies.
I bet they do.
Maybe.
I bet they do.
It's just something to explore.
Keychain thingies.
They really do. So someone tagged me.
Keeping her far away from UV and from any machine.
Amanda Tart tagged me in something the other day, and it was these little, like, caps for the lids, not the lids, the straws of Stanley's. And she was like, I feel like you need to carry these too. And I was like, yeah, straw thingies. Like, it just, it's a perfect, you know, you transition, like all it. The thingies.
Someone's gonna you jump have on that. A whole line of thingies.
That whole line of thingies.
Thingies Inc.
There was someone, I was looking at, like, the new trademarks that were coming out. And there's someone who's making, I forget what it was, but they called it a thingy. And I felt kind of some way about it. And it's absolutely not warranted, or, you know, whatever. She
feeling a little territorial.
Yeah, but I was like, no, like, thingy, that's...
Keychain thingies. Yeah.
That's yours. Your thing.
I know, but.
But thingies itself is not yours.
Debatable. Debatable. Okay. Just kidding. It depends on who you ask. Anyway, so the Fire and Ink group. What are your other groups, and what's your TikTok and Instagram handles and stuff?
My laser group is All Things Laser by the Country Porch Swing. And my TikTok is the Country Porch Swing. And yeah, I mean, I'm on Instagram too, if you still do that, if you're into that sort of thing.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on Pinterest, and I post that much, but yeah, TikTok is my big one. And then my Fire and Ink and All Things Laser group. So. Awesome.
Well, cool. Thanks for jumping on, yeah. Especially after you had a crazy weekend and you have stuff going on in the background with all the paper on the floor. But
we won't look back.
We can't see any of that
back there. I'm like, oh shoot, I left that open. Yeah. I mean, it is me. It's me. Everybody already knows.
Oh yeah, we all know that it's just the Hot Mess Express over here, and there's no reason to hide
part
it.
Part of it.
Yep. What are you even doing if you're not utter chaos all the time?
Yep.
Literally.
Zach, do you even own a business if you're in chaos?
well, and at least this time you were prepared. Quote prepared to be on camera. Last time you weren't. I think I forgot to tell you it was video, and you were like, "Oh,
it's gonna be video." Luckily, thank goodness, I had to go somewhere after, so I.
So you had already put yourself together.
Yeah, I had a CPR class after that. How about that?
Yeah. Well, it was good to have you on, friend. Thanks. We'll definitely grab you again in the future and talk about whatever new machine we have.
Yeah. Or whatever you have.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. Good time.
Yeah. And you guys stay right there for the life update coming up next. And we are back with the life update portion of our show.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about? So the big news of this week. Do you know what it is? What's happening tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm taking my drone exam. Yeah, I've been cramming. So hopefully by the time you see this, I am a certified drone pilot.
Woo-hoo!
Part 107. I feel confident.
You're going to do it.
I feel real confident about it. I've taken all the not all the practice exam. I think I got two more. Okay. But I've taken all the quizzes, all the practice exams. I got the sign in to a drone online course from a friend. So I went through that, and then I've also gone, and because you know me and my buddy YouTube, so I've gone
YouTube
on
YouTube University.
Yep, I've gone on to YouTube and just seen what other because you know everyone has a different teaching style.
Right.
I do great when it comes to like visual. Like
same.
Animations and stuff like that, which helped me learn a few things, especially reading the charts. If you've ever looked at like a flight chart and all those circles,
right,
and all those colors.
No, when I saw you doing that stuff, I was like, ooh.
Right, you look at it, and I mean, I'm guilty too. When I found out that you had to learn that stuff, I was like, I will never understand. But
yeah,
they do a good job of breaking down what means what. So now when I look at it, it doesn't look intimidating.
And so yeah,
I can actually like
it doesn't look a jumbled mess like it does to me.
I mean, it still looks like a jumbled mess. Yeah. But I have like the cheat code.
Right.
So I can look at it and like if I focus on a certain area, I can kind of tell. But it still does look like a jumbled mess, even to me, knowing the few things that I know about it. You surprisingly need to know, I won't say it's useless information, but information that you won't use regularly.
Right.
Because your drone can only fly a certain height anyway.
Right.
But all the questions are about airspace different because, I mean, I guess this drone can't, you know, like the commercial drones can't. But this license allows you to fly all kinds of drones, which I guess would fly in all kinds of airspace. And it's not even called like a drone. It's part 107 unmanned aircraft. So it's like an unmanned aircraft.
Right.
But it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And hopefully I've studied enough to pass it tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you will. I mean, he's done well on the couple practice exams and stuff. And part of what pushed us to this timeline.
Yeah.
So we talked about it a little bit last week.
I've had login for quite a while.
Yeah, I don't know how much in detail we talked about it last week, but you know, we kind of just got to that point where like, you know, our savings was pretty much gone and we were making some money, but not nearly enough.
Past that comfort level.
Way past the comfort level. And we were like, okay, now what?
Right.
And it was a struggle, and we didn't know, you know, what the heck we were gonna do, and we had like a family meeting with your mom, and you know that went well. You know, she's kind of the type who's like, just take whatever you need, even if it means the clothes off my back, if it means you're okay. And it's like that we don't want to do that, even if that's an option. And so then it was like, okay, well, what do we need to focus on now? Like, what's right. most important to get us out of our current situation the quickest?
Right. And up sales too. It's like, right. I mean, if you're just starting off as a business, or you're like in the, you know, like you're upgrading, you're mm-hmm. like, is this a right, like sale? Everyone's going through like a sales slump right now.
Right.
Is this the right time to like get that red line?
Right.
Is this the right time to get the X tool?
Well, I mean, we were struggling with, is this the right time to get the drone
right,
as well?
Exactly.
Because the test costs how much?
The test costs $175 each time you take it.
Right. So if you fail, it's still $175.
Oh, you not even, I mean? Even if I miss the, if I forget that it's at 2 o'clock.
Right.
If yeah, I'm not there within, mean. Yeah.
So
yeah,
like, you lose it's $175. Yeah. And then mm-hmm. once, even if you pass it, even when you pass yeah. it, let me yeah. say, then you have to buy a drone.
Right.
And a drone with backup batteries and stuff. And anyone right. who does anything with photography and videography knows that you need mm-hmm. several backup batteries. Right.
You need that fly more combo.
Right. And it, you know, then comes more money right. when well, not then, a lot is coming in right. right now. And it's hard because we felt like this was the next step because a lot of people were asking you,
right.
do you have your drone
right.
license?
Right.
And we always had to keep saying, not yet, not yet.
Right.
And
in
then,
the process.
You know, then it was like, you know, you looked and you found someone who can do stuff for you in the meantime, but at the same right. time, he only wants to go to, you know,
well,
certain distances. Right.
He's not,
he
like,
has his own business right. that's doing other stuff. And then it was just like, okay, because we've all had, like, I've had the things where I post about some kind of like new keychain and everyone's like, oh my God, yes, get them, get them, get right. them, I get them, and no one fucking buys them.
Right.
So, you know, we were like having that fear too. Right. We spend all this money, pump all this money into something,
right.
and then
it
not,
translate?
You know, it may not translate,
right.
but it was, we felt like it was the best
ROI. Right.
Yeah. It was the best next move. And instead of like originally, it was like, you know, I told you needed to make a goal
right.
because otherwise you're going to continue to
right.
keep putting it off
right.
and get around to it. Kind
right.
of like my LED course. And I was like, when are you going to do it? And you're like, okay,
right.
May.
So,
May gives you enough time to study up. And then we're like, all right, well, now we're just going to double down and you got to take it now.
Right. Well, I was also studying a little more and things because I had, so when we lived in Colorado, the news station I worked for paid for the course.
Right. But it was different.
It was a different course. Yeah. Different course, which I was taking, but we moved back before I even took the test.
Well, and because I remember the test being more difficult and you didn't necessarily like, you didn't have a desire to do any of this business on your own.
No, but I did want to. So what gave me the itch initially for the drone was the same news put me on. I wanted to be part of a, they had like a workshop. The DJI drone people had a workshop.
Yeah.
Because I think they were just opening the store in Centennial.
Okay.
But because of that, they wanted to generate business. So they had a workshop for videographers and stuff like that.
Okay.
And my boss had asked if anyone was interested. It was on a Saturday. Before kids.
Yeah.
No plans on Saturdays.
Right.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
And I started playing with them and I fell in love with them. I'm like, oh, these are so cool.
Yeah.
To like get, you know, like different angles and stuff like
right.
that. And then, you know, they were talking about doing it at work, so I'm like, sign me up. And then this speaks to why when you pay for an online course, it goes a lot further.
Because
I've had two opportunities, one at work in Denver,
free.
And then this one that I finally took, but I sat on.
Yeah,
that
free.
I had the login. It didn't cost me anything,
right?
And I didn't do anything with
right.
it. I had the login.
I told you that's happened with almost every single person I've given the course to
right.
for free. They don't
yeah.
take it because, I mean, same thing. I haven't taken, what's her name's? Emily's.
Right. Same.
Because she gave it to me.
Same. Yeah.
And you looked at a couple. You looked at
yeah,
more
modules
than
I did. A little bit of it,
and then
just got like, you know, just got busy with other
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. But because you didn't put that investment in, it's not,
right. Right.
you don't value it as much, which is why I give away a lot less of the courses just
right.
because most of the time it's not going to a person, not to a person who like not values it, but there's just, there's a difference in even spending $50 to $100 on a course, because you spent $50 to $100. And so now it's like, I really got to take this.
Right.
When it's free, there's no like time limit on how I like when I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And then you always think that you're going to get to it later, and you just, you often don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you don't have anything invested like that. So, So paying the 175 and being like, I can't blow 175, especially where we're at now. So I need to pass this test.
Yeah.
So I use that to kind of like really emphasize. And it, even that took me a minute.
Right.
I looked, cause I was like, again, I had only looked at these courses kind of half.
Right.
So when I like actually sat down and like looked at YouTube and like things started clicking faster.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I, you know, I went to the FAA.
Yeah.
I got my, whatever number that is that I needed to schedule the test. I scheduled the test earlier because I mean, we were supposed to, I was talking about scheduling it for May and you know, I'm Wednesday, the end of April.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
So yeah, I can't, you know, I hope it looks like the practice tests.
Right.
I hope there's some, because even the practice tests have certain questions kind of sprinkled in. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the same question a few times.
Right.
And I hope it's like that. I hope I walk in and I'm like, oh,
yeah, that's,
I remember this,
this
one.
Yeah.
Boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope they haven't changed the tests from the time that everybody has been like all the YouTube videos. I mean, because they change them periodically because of that, because they don't want all the answers out there.
Right. But I mean, so it's just like, I've struggled because of the struggles behind the scenes with imposter syndrome a lot, and doing this podcast, because like, I don't want people who are watching the podcast to think, oh, they have it all together and we're making all this money, when that's not really necessarily the case. Like, you know, do we have probably like a potentially, you know, more lucrative business than some other laser owner? Potentially. But at the same time, the fact is,
there's a lot out there making more,
a ton more than us, and people who aren't, you know, struggling to pay certain bills every month. So, you know, it just, one thing that I hear people like about us the most is what I need to remember when I do have this imposter syndrome is that we're real about all the struggles that we have. And
the
so
only
if
curtains
you're...
here are these. These are the only curtains to hide the mess.
Yeah. So if you're struggling, you know, you're not alone.
So are we.
So are we.
So are we.
And that's also why we kind of push Patreon, because Patreon, let's be real, keeps the lights on. So
not only for the studio.
For the house as well. And it's just, we're doing our best, and we're just trying to get through with our physical ailments that we got going on too, which only just adds another level of difficulty. And then we realized we had a, it was, so a couple days after our like freak out breakdown, we found out that we were getting a nice chunk back in our taxes.
Listen,
and
whatever universe, karma, God, whatever you want to call it is good.
Yeah. And so it kind of like just came through like at the right time. And then he went to go sell his truck, because as we've told you, we bought a minivan.
Listen, if there's anything, this too shall change.
Two shall pass?
This too shall pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is if you're doing great, this too shall pass. And if you're doing bad, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
Because we got that. And then I go to wash the truck to take pictures and video and everything to post it up on Marketplace. And guess what happens to the truck?
There's
starts
a leak.
Leaking.
We've had zero issues with this truck since we've
and
had it for almost a year.
It sat for a week without being like started. And I started it, moved it over. Mm-hmm. I even ran it for a little bit.
Right.
And then moved it over and it started leaking.
Yeah.
Luckily, I think
it's a somewhat easy fix.
It's
hopefully
just leaking from the pan.
Right.
So a new gasket changes the fluid and hopefully we're golden. Hopefully.
Right.
But it is another like.
Yeah. And it's just. I saw a reel the other day that it was like the things don't ever stop happening
right
in your life. Yeah. You, once you become an adult, you realize that like there's always mm-hmm. gonna be some bullshit. And yes, right. some months are heavier on the bullshit than others. Right. Like there's a friend that I have who had like a brother have a bad accident and then now something with her husband is going on, and like two really huge life changing moments in one or two months, and it's like really all of this together right now. But then like you said, this too shall pass, and it's just like you, as you get older, you just get better at trying to smile through whatever is testing you at the moment.
You also have to take a step back and look at what has already happened to you,
right?
And you've moved what past you've
gotten
it,
past
what you've gotten past
right
to help you, because I mean we've in all
right
talks we went through it already, on bigger stuff than we're facing now,
right?
So that's what like the truck, I'm like, okay, well, it looks like it's the pan, it's like okay, this is a minor hiccup, but it's not,
oh my god. And then the same day, the fence bullshit, I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah, that's right.
And we figured that out, which we need to go
tomorrow,
do the thing for that. But it's just, you know, we're trucking along.
We're in the trenches. We're in the trenches too.
But we're pushing through.
Yes. So you just have to push through. You have to
try some gummies, they help. when you can't figure it out some days, and you it just kind of helps you.
Yeah, if you are so inclined to try it, then definitely try substances.
the legal ones.
Yeah. I mean, legal in your area. So
Anyway. But
so we're right there with you. Mm-hmm. Everyone's struggling.
Yeah. But wish us luck.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to push through, and we're trying to grow things and keep this a thing so that we can still keep doing this podcast thing. And
I mean, there was a time there last week where we were like, do we have to like put everything on pause?
Yeah.
And like, kind of like get everything centered again,
right?
And then come back to, and then hope to come back to it,
right?
Because that's another thing too.
Once you walk away, it's really hard to lose
momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, when you turn the lights off on something for a minute to come back to, there might not be anything to come back to,
right?
Or you're so far back that to play catch up now is it almost 100%. Impossible.
Yep.
We talked about that too. So yeah, so I'm a drone pilot. And hopefully this means a lot more work and a lot more clients.
Yeah.
And just another service I offer. Sorry, I can't fly a drone from here to wherever you are.
I know, right?
But if you're in Florida and you need some drone work, let me know.
Or does it go transfer over to other states? Or is it just for Florida?
No, it's
so they could national. Hire you and you could go to them.
Yeah, you would have to. I can't fly myself out on the drone to you. But yeah,
on a regular plane though.
On a regular plane,
and then you could bring
the drone can fit in the on my carry on.
There we go.
I can fly out. I just can't fly myself out.
Right.
Unless I buy a plane.
No.
A little plane.
Let's just buy the drone, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, it's been another great episode of the Riley Black Project. Crystal and John.
Bye.
Maybe we're all done.